We're about to turn our attention to Sri Lanka versus England, and we've got one of the best in the business to have a chat. Tim Wigmore, the author of The Best, How an Elite Athlete Are Made, which is a book out now. So make sure if you enjoy this chat here with Tim, you jump online and put in an order for that book. Tim, thanks for having a chat, and it's so good to be talking cricket as England prepare to take on Sri Lanka.
Cheers, guys. It should be an interesting series. Obviously, England missing some key players, you know, no Ben Stokes, no Jofra Archer, no Mo and Ali probably for both tests, given his COVID situation. So England will be hard-pressed to repeat their performance their last time when they won 3-0 in Sri Lanka in 2018, which was a very good result.
Now, Glenn McFarlane just said that the current England team that we're about to see take on Sri Lanka could be quite different to the side we might see in a bit over a year when they take on the Aussies in the Ashes. What are you hoping to see from England here? And is there a player or two you think might have a big series?
I think for Sam Curran, it's a big series. He's probably going to get the chance to bat at number 7. And obviously, you know, important bowler as well. You know, he's been around for a couple of years now, and actually played one Ashes test and did pretty well in England. But I think England would like a left arm. They'd also, you know, like him for his runs down the order. So I think it's a big series for him. We're going to see a debut for Dan Lawrence at 5, and he scored a century for England Lions against Australia at the MCG about a year ago. And he's very exciting. His technique, very kind of leg side, so not kind of the traditional England way of playing. So he's an exciting player as well. And kind of as ever with England, it's a case of, you know, you've got Anderson and Broad, two fantastic bowlers, but you're also trying to build for the future. So there's no Jofra Archer in Sri Lanka. Mark Wood is in the touring party. I think he'll play at least test in England. You know, England really want Mark Wood to be playing 2 or 3 tests in Australia in a year's time alongside Jofra Archer.
Tim, the English have been obviously in Sri Lanka for probably six days longer than the Sri Lankans and have seemed to have settled in okay, but it's been really difficult with the biosecurity bubble. Is it right that they were confined to their room for the first 3 days and have only played the one sort of intra-club, if you like, trial match?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And on Moeen Ali, like he's been, you know, confined to his room the whole time because he tested positive for COVID on arrival. So it's been a weird start. And in England, actually, not only that, they played this kind of intra-squad game, and it seemed to be a bit of a green seamer, which Sri Lanka have a habit of doing this. So they do these green seamers in warm-up matches, and then you get to Gore, and it's going to be a raging turner, I'm sure.
Unfortunately, COVID is affecting the world, but especially in England, where it's been quite devastating. How important is it for the national team to perform and perform well to give the fans a bit of a distraction from what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of players have talked about that. You know, it is pretty grueling at the moment. You know, obviously, COVID's hard, the weather is miserable. So a lot of players have talked about the kind of responsibility of, you know, the hope that they can provide some sort of joy for English fans back home. Yeah, I think there is a responsibility on England, and, you know, hopefully we'll see them play in an attacking style of cricket, which actually was really their formula last time in Sri Lanka. So they actually, you know, they used the sweep very aggressively to really attack Sri Lanka's spinners, and that was quite a low-scoring series. England won all three tests. That'll be interesting as well, whether England play in that style of cricket. And also, you know, without Ben Stokes, he's such a talismanic player, that leaves, you know, that's really taking two players out of the side. So having him cope without him is always going to be a real challenge for them.
You talk about Gore being a potential spinners paradise. It has been historically. Where is the English team at with their spinners at the moment? I'm sort of throwing forward to what's going to happen at the end of the year when you come out here to Australia. Is there a bit of a concern with spinning ranks in England at the moment?
Yeah, like it's not a new issue, but there is a big concern. So actually, if you look at all the test nations in the world, the last 5 years in first-class cricket, there's actually a lower percentage of spin bowling than any other country. So there's a real lack of spin being bowled, and that goes back to, you know, you have lots of games the start and end of the season. You're often playing on these kind of seeming wickets, matches which aren't a lot like test wickets, is the old problem of county cricket. So the number one spinner is John Best at the moment. He's a young kid. He is improving, but he's played 10 test matches, 19 wickets, average of 40 odd. You know, that's not a great record. It's obviously, you look at the record of overseas spinners in Australia, obviously Ashwin's doing well at the moment, but in general it's very difficult for overseas spinners in Australia. And that actually is why England, they wanted to bring, and they still want to bring Adil Rashid back into the side, you know, because you have a leg spinner in Australia, and I think that's seen as a better bet than a finger spinner, which is probably either going to be Don Best or Jack Leach. Jack Leach has actually done slightly better than Best, not as good a batsman, despite what you might remember about his role alongside Ben Stokes in Leeds. But yeah, it looks like it'll be either Best or Leach who's on up at the Gabba at the end of this year, unless Adil Rashid can come back into the side, which I think would be a better thing for England.
Tim, Jos Buttler's a fascinating player. His test average, just 33.93. We know what a brilliant player he is in shorter games. Can he convert that form to test match cricket? And if he gets hot, how vital would that be for England?
Yeah, so Jos Buttler, there was a lot of talk about him last summer. Was he kind of near the end of his test career? But he had a very, very good summer. He averaged 51, I think, which was his best performance in a home summer. Got a big century in the last test against Pakistan as well. So there's a feeling with Buttler that he is kind of cracking test cricket. It's one of those, you see him in white ball cricket. He's just obviously such a fantastic talent. Hasn't transferred as well so far. I'm optimistic that we'll see the best of Buttler in test cricket. And he hasn't played an Ashes test in Australia yet. I actually think in Australia he's got the tools to go well. He's a big one for England. Obviously, we've also got the return of Johnny Bairstow, but he's going to bat at three. He didn't play a test last year at all. So he looks like he's going to come back and bat at three as a specialist batsman. It's a big challenge for him as well. So England's really kind of a reflection of their other batsmen come in, generally not done too brilliantly, although, you know, some of the recent guys have gone pretty well, such as Dom Sibley. But there's a real feeling that Bairstow kind of had too much hand to be left on the sidelines. So England are keen to give him one final crack at test cricket.
Tim, Jack Cullis was appointed a batting consultant last month, heading forward to this series in Sri Lanka. What sort of impact do you think he could have for the group?
Well, yeah, it's a good question because obviously you get a legend like him coming in, but, you know, they always say you're just coming for one test series. There's a limit to what you can do. You know, probably the time where you can do most on someone's game is probably before a series rather than during it. And he's only had, because of quarantine and COVID, he's only had, I think, 5 or 6 days of working with the players for the series. One of the reasons he was recruited on a short-term basis is his record in Asia is very good. And England obviously trying to, you know, find a way of being more successful there. Because, you know, you've got to say, England have got four tests in India after this. And India at home are a fantastic side. So it could be a really tough series for England. So, yeah, if England don't go well in Sri Lanka, the kind of sense will be that they could be in for a long, long tour in India.
Tim, who are you tipping to win the first test? And which batsman do you think might lead the way for their prospective team?
Oh, yeah, good question. I think the first test, it could be a nip and tuck. Sorry, that's sitting on the fence a bit. I'll go for England narrowly if I have to predict one. For England, I think we'll see some runs for Johnny Bairstow. He's often been at his best when he's kind of come back and had a point to prove, got a century in Sri Lanka last time. But I think he'll go well. For Sri Lanka, Kanaratna, the opener, I think, yeah, he got a century last test in South Africa. I think he's a solid player. I think he'll go well. And, you know, obviously opening in Sri Lanka can be quite not a bad time to bat before the pitch is sort of really, really taking turn.
And Tim, you just released a book named The Best, How Elite Athletes Are Made. Tell us about the book and where can we get our hands on it?
Yeah, so it's almost like a free economics for sport. So it's explaining the factors that make elite athletes and then how they adapt. So looking at everything from why young siblings do better at sport to actually how you hit a cricket ball in 0.5 seconds and why athletes choke. Interviews with athletes from Mike Hussey, Pete Sampras, Steph Curry, Marcus Rashford, so a host of top athletes. It's out now in good bookshops in Australia and obviously online to order as well.
Tim, give us a snippet. What was one aspect that one of the athletes told you and you put in the book that you found quite fascinating?
So there's a good chat with Pete Sampras and his coach as a kid. Basically, he would get ready to serve and as he was throwing the ball up, the coach would shout at him, line for doing a serve down the line or body for into the body serve or wide. And basically the way his coach did that meant that Sampras on those three different types of serve, they all looked identical to the opponent. That was a really nice little tip from him, actually. Quite a good kind of piece of advice to probably young kids for interaction as well. And I think the reason why that's so important is similar in cricket as well, like with bowlers, is if you can have an action in which it looks identical depending on what serve you're doing or what ball you're about to bowl, that makes you so, so dangerous. And we see it in cricket similarly, you know, that the best fast bowlers are actually, when you can't tell from the action whether it's going to be a Yorker or a bouncer. Well, that means the batsmen don't have cues to react, and it's so, so difficult. It narrows that point of that window that your opponent has to react.
Well, Tim, my wife owes me a Christmas present still, so I might get her to jump online and order that book for me now as well, because that does sound quite fascinating. And I love hearing what goes into the cake to make those athletes so very special. Tim, thanks very much for having a chat. Enjoy the England series against Sri Lanka, and best of luck with the book. The author of the book is Tim Wigmore. The book is The Best, How Elite Athletes Are Made, and jump online and get it now. Thanks very much, Tim.
Cheers.
There's Tim Wigmore taking a look at the upcoming test between England and Sri Lanka. Quinny, does sound quite fascinating.
I know that you like to make money. Look at this. Look at the odds in regard to this. You're talking about Tim thinking that the English team will win. $2.40 England, $2.70 for Sri Lanka, and the draw, $3.50. Now, we don't generally have draws there, so it might be worth taking that $2.40.
Well, it's interesting because you mentioned that they don't have draws between these two teams very often. And looking through the recent history between these two teams,
you're gonna prove me
the
wrong
last
here.
26 tests in Sri Lanka have resulted in a result.
There you go.
So 26 right. tests have been one of the teams winning the match.
So let's discount the $3.50 draw, particularly on a turning wicket.
Well, I haven't looked at the weather, but yeah.
Bit of rain, I think, is forecast.
So Sri Lanka's won 14 and the visiting team has won 12. I have noted that England have drifted, though. They were as short as $1.60 for this test. They're $1.60 to $2.40, so the money has been for Sri Lanka. Mm. I know Scott Cooney was planning on backing Sri Lanka. He said it last week on RSN. So obviously he's just pinned back those broad shoulders and had a bet.
They're forming. Yeah, I mean, I know that it was in South Africa, but their form was pretty average. But I'll tell you what, I might just watch this one. There's plenty of other things to bet on. Might back the Aussies. Remind me later to read you. The Aussies haven't lost a test at the Gabba since 1988. I think it was against the West Indies. Remind me to tell you later on about the West Indies team of the time.
I'll do that.
It was extraordinary.
Well, they're $1.45, the Aussies, to take out the deciding test against India starting tomorrow morning. We're going to take a short break on RSN. We're not too far away from getting your pen poised and finding a winner or two across the country.